just better hang on. I'm ready to go. All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16, and this is very necessary. And this starts a series, actually. You're going to feel like you're getting a series tonight, probably in one sermon, because I'm going to nail the dangers of the universal invisible church. And I'm going to nail everything that the Lord had showed me that I could come up with here out of the Word of God, and just dangers and things that are going on in our world today because of this doctrine of the universal invisible church and this Lone Ranger mentality that's out there, this mentality that I can do whatever I want to do and there's no accountability and all kinds of things like that. And we see it, and then they end up despising the local church. There's so many things that I want to cover with you, so I don't have time to set it all up, but let's pray first, and then, I'm going to get right into it. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us now and help us. And Lord, I just pray that this would sink into the hearts of your people. And Lord, that we would understand this. And those that hear this, Lord, would understand it. That they would take heed to the scriptures and not despise the church that you paid for, that you bought and paid for, and you died for. Help us, Lord Jesus, never to take it for granted. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. You know, here's the thing. Let me preface this by saying first, I do feel sorry for the many people that contact me that they really don't have anywhere to go, okay? And I believe a lot of them because I've seen the churches that they come out of and the things that they're around there. Now, they've got to get alone with God, and they've got to figure that out. I'm not trying to be unkind to those people tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm trying to tell them the truth. I want to help them, okay? But I understand there's some people. I have people contact me today. I had somebody contact me from Germany today. I mean, they don't have anything. She's, I don't have anything. There's nothing here where I'm at. You know what I mean? And that's something you have to pray through. You have to take your time. You have to get along with God. You've got to get some wisdom and guidance. But there's people that they don't know what to do. So I'm not being mean to them. I love those people. I want to help those people. I'm not. What this is going to deal with is the truth of this issue that the local church, which is the only church, by the way, that you'll find, and I'm not going to back off of that any one bit. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to absolutely 100% prove it to you that there is no universal invisible church. There is no universal visible church. All right. There isn't any of those. Those are both Catholic and Protestant doctrines. They are not Baptist doctrines. And the damage that those doctrines have caused today, they have caused major damage to people. And I want to show you that because people, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. I'm just going to read you one verse, a lot of verses tonight though, but this is one verse. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against his church. He said, my church. He said, I will build my church. Amen. The church that Jesus built. Amen. Then Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What's this saying? Is saying there's always going to be a church, amen. There's always a remnant, amen. God has always had a remnant that was out there, a remnant of truth that was out there, a remnant, a church. And we'll talk about those things later. I don't have time to get into perpetuity and all those things, but we will. I don't have time to get into all those doctrines, but we definitely will do that. And but we live in a day and age today that despises the local church. I mean, they absolutely despise it. That word despise means to make little. They make little of. It does not matter to most people today. How many people can flippantly leave a good Bible-preaching church and just take off and leave out of nowhere? Why? Because you got sour grapes? Because you didn't get to run things and do things the way you want to do it, so you just take off and leave? I'm not talking about churches that are in apostasy. I'm talking about Bible-believing Baptist churches that are standing for the faith once delivered unto the saints. I'm talking about ones that are doing right, and people can just walk out of it and despise the local church. You can make all the excuses you want when people do that, but that's all it is an excuse. Again, I'm not talking about churches that have went apostate. You need to leave apostate churches. You don't support those, but you need to try to find another one that is going the right way. You know, many of them can do away with the local church. That's how they feel. They could sidestep the local church and operate ministries outside of the local New Testament church. Yeah. I mean, we're ran with it today of people that they run ministries outside of the local New Testament church, always shooting at the churches, always shooting them down, always shooting pastoral authority down, always shooting the offices down and everything else. Well, I'm going to tell you why they do that. They do that because they don't want any accountability. We're going to get to that. I don't want to preach a message before I get to it quite yet, but they don't want any accountability. That's just what it is. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do. Yeah, exactly. It's time to fire back. That's right. It's time to fire back. Why? Because the Lord's church is not a little matter.
Amen.
This is not a little matter. And you know what? These guys act like it is. They act like it's no big deal. Let me just go ahead and try to destroy somebody's ministry, try to do something like that, because I don't think it's that big of a deal. Why? Well, because you live out in that mystical, universal, invisible place, where nobody has any authority and everybody does what they want and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Right? There's no order. There's only chaos. You do what you want to do. All right. The church to them is expendable. They don't need it for anything. We live in an information age, and you could find anything online you want to today. But let me tell you something. You cannot replace the local New Testament church with an online ministry. You cannot replace the church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus started, the church that he said, my church. You're not going to replace that online. Yes, we love to minister to people online because we know that there's people that don't have anything. We do, but we're not, and we love to help them. We want to help them. And guess what? We are seeing people go find churches now, and they're attending churches, and they're being baptized, scripturally baptized, and they're joining to churches. Brother Nate and I just got a text from somebody that listens to Sound the Battle Cry. And what they do, they text and they said, hey, thanks for the advice. We got into a church. I'm in a church. I'm getting baptized pretty soon, and we're going to be a member of this local New Testament church and serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. He's excited about it. That's just one of many. I can give you many testimonies of people that say, you know what? We know we need to be in church. We need to find a good church. We can't just sit at home and expect this is going to be it. Nothing wrong with listening to preaching, okay? But the point is, that's not a church, and I'm going to show you why it's not and what the damage that causes, that universal, invisible church doctrine causes. False doctrine. A ministry should be out of a local New Testament church to be rightly called a ministry.
Right.
Really should be. Right. We have the rise of the internet warrior. That's what we have. Man, I see some tough guys on the internet, man. Are they ever tough? Now, not a one of those guys would stand before anybody and preach the word of God to them out in the open air. But boy, these guys are sure tough guys behind their keyboard commandos, behind their keyboards. They are sure tough guys. And they're ready to shoot at anybody who's out there preaching the word of God against them. Well, guess what? You fire enough shots at me, I'm going to fire back at you with the truth. And I'm going to give you the truth.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you for the fakes you really are. Because that's all it is fake. And if you don't understand this, you think I'm getting too fired up, hang on, I ain't even got started yet. I haven't even got started yet, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't take any downers today, all right? I'm not down, I'm feeling good, amen? I'm ready to go. I'm ready. It's been a while coming, and it needs to be preached. Because people are despising the church that Jesus bought and paid for. They despise it now. You know, we have the rise of these internet warriors, and the next video is going to come out about some church so they can be exalted in the eyes of people as an authority.
Right.
And I'm not saying, hey, listen, there's a bunch of apostates, and I call the bums out all the time, okay? So I realize there's a bunch of apostate pastors out there and churches out there. I agree. I agree completely. But none of that, none of those ministries, none of those things can take the place of the local New Testament church. None of that could take the place if it was not for. Also, none of these guys could do what they're doing if it wasn't for the doctrine of the universal invisible church. If they could not do what they do if it wasn't for the rise of that doctrine. So we're going to look at the dangers of that universal invisible church. Then we'll look at what is the church someday down the road and when the church started. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about when the church started. Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, I don't want to leave no stone unturned, right? We got to turn it all over. I don't like rocking the boat. I like tipping the whole thing over. No time for pleasantries. Let's just get right to it, right? We'll talk about when the church started, what it means, what that even means, right? Because that's been perverted so bad by people. Now we're going to get right into it. Number one, the universal church doctrine is read into the text. It's not in the Bible.
That's
You have to read that into the text. It's not there. When you look at, listen, if I threw you out on a deserted island somewhere and all you had that King James Bible and you're reading your Bible, would you get some mystical, universal, invisible church out of that doctrine? Seriously? So Paul's preaching and he's given offices and ordinances to universal, mystical, invisible people that don't exist. There's no organization. There's no structure. There's no order. Paul's just, he laid down all these offices for this. Or would you get it from that teaching, if you just had that King James Bible there, can you honestly tell me that you would get two churches out of that instead of one? No. No, you wouldn't get that out of it. You have to read that into it. You already come to that and you read that into it. Right? You wouldn't have that. What is that? It's eisegesis. Did I say it right?
Eisegesis.
I got it. I said it right. It means you read something into it, right? That's what you're reading something into. Instead of exegesis, which means that you take it out of it, you draw the truth out of it, instead of that, you're reading something into it that's not even there. And that's how you have to approach this situation in order to come up with a universal invisible church. Because you don't give ordinances, you don't give order, you don't set up offices, you don't lay hands on invisible people, you don't do that stuff, okay? It's very clear there's an order and a structure there. And Paul is dealing with real people that have real problems in real assemblies. Real epistles written to real people. To real churches that had real problems. That he had to correct. Not to all the church all over the world and we're all the church. Oh. Yeah, you spooky hippie. We're all the church. It just reminds me of like really strung out hippies. I know. I could do this like other people do, but I'm really not that guy. I can't do that. I can't be that nice and just not that. You got to pray for me. Maybe I'll get like that someday when I get old. Probably not, though. I don't think it'll happen. But anyway, so I'm not going to go into all that, but that's what it is. It's basically, you will not find a universal invisible body anywhere in that King James Bible. You won't find it there. Somebody has to teach you that. When you read about a church, man, when I first got saved, I just looked through the Bible. I just read a church. I was like, oh, that's a church. Yep. Church. I know what church is. Right? I know what that is. I didn't think, well, that's some invisible body everywhere. That's all the believers gathered all over the world. We're all the church. Come on, somebody had to teach you that nonsense. You didn't get that from the Bible. You don't get that from the clear teaching of the Word of God. You don't get that. That's right. It is. They come at it and already with their preconceived notions already, and this is what it's going to mean, and that's what it is. Why? So I can sidestep authority. That's why. So I have no accountability, and I can do what I want because I'm part of the big one. I'm a member of the big one. The true church. The mother church. The big one. That's how they act. No, in the Bible you see local churches. That's what you see. And I know I'm using local because I have to, because people have gone loco, okay? So I have to use that word. Otherwise, if I don't, you won't understand what I mean, because everybody has indoctrinated people with the fact that church means universal, invisible, mystical mess. That's what it means. Instead of church, just what a church is. Right? So then it gets all messy. So I have to say local church all the time so you understand what I mean. And so it's very clear. We don't even need to call them that, though. We could just call them churches, because that's what they were. We call it as an institution when you say the church as an institution, right? Just like you say, I'm going to go to school today, right? Why? Does anybody assume that's a mystical, invisible school? Is that a mystical? No, you're going to a place where you gather, where you're getting education, where you're being taught. You're going to assemble there at that school. That's what you're going to do. I mean, that's not that hard. This is really simple. It's really not that hard, but I got to keep going. All right. I mean, the word means assembly. It's just what it means, but we'll talk about that another day. And congregation, by the way, what do assemblies do? They assemble. Boy, that's hard. Right? Assemblies assemble. Congregations, what do? They congregate. I mean, that is just like, that is too simple. I have to make it harder for people to understand. I got to tell them they're part of this universal invisible thing out there, so they don't have to do anything that anybody else says. They don't have to follow any proper order. They don't have to do anything. They could just be themselves out there. We'll get to the reason why they do that in a little while. See, they're reading it into the text, so it's universal invisible, that they just read it into it. It's not even there. Once you start reading things into the text, though, you destroy other important doctrines. And that, see, this is the major problem here. Once you start reading a universal, invisible, mystical church, we're all part of the church. Once you start reading that, then guess what it does? It destroys every other doctrine in the Bible. Once you tamper with that doctrine, you tamper with everything. And that's why when you've seen in America, when you've seen the revivals of George Whitefield, the Great Awakening with George Whitefield, and you've seen it with Jonathan Edwards, yeah, they did great. God used those men. I believe that. But you know where those men were wrong? They didn't start churches. But what happened? George Whitefield prayed for a John the Baptist to come out of the wilderness, right? Well, he got one. Right, he got a Shubal Stearns, and Shubal Stearns came out, and what'd he do? He started churches, and 1,000 churches were planted from that Sandy Creek. Eventually, over the years, they can trace their roots back to Sandy Creek. In fact, one of the brothers that has a church here, his sending church was out of that church, one of the Sandy Creek churches. Yeah. So, you know, it's God uses church planting, and that's what Baptists understood. They understood the Great Commission. They used to, anyway. They used to. Until the Great Commission was whittled down to soul winning. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. That's what it was whittled down to, so that's what they thought it was. No, no, no. The Great Commission is church planting. To see that all the way through, we'll get to that. All right? Listen, there are Christians out there that are not part of the Lord's church. That does not mean they're not saved. I'm going to say that again. There are saved people out there that are not part of the Lord's church. Do you understand that? I'm not saying people that don't go to church are lost, because there's a lot of lost people that go to church, okay? I'm not saying that, okay? My point is that there are a lot of people that are saved that are not in the Lord's church, but they should be. That doesn't mean they're not saved. It means that they're not right, or they can't find one, or they need to find one. They need to diligently seek that and seek out the Lord for that. Doesn't mean they're not saved. No. What did Paul say? He said that some forsook the assembly, right? As the manner of some is, he said. So already at that time, he said some of them, the manner of their life was to forsake the assembly. It was already happening in his day. Right? All right. So number two, what are the doctrinal and practical dangers of this universal invisible church? Because this is where you really get to it, where you really understand it. The next sermon I preach on this, Lord willing, will be Sunday, and I'm going to preach to you on the origin of the universal invisible church. And then I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about the church, what it says it is. Amen? But for right now, we're going to cover the doctrinal dangers, and they are big, and they are prevalent, and we see it everywhere. If you're even on any online ministry or online at all, you will see these doctrinal dangers. You see them right in front of your face. It's just amazing. You ask people if they attend a local church or are they a member of one, and they say, I'm a part of the big church. We're all part of the church. And when I hear that, again, my mind goes back to the Jesus people, hippie dudes that run around like that. I mean, just that's what I think in my mind. It destroys the doctrine. So number one, what does it destroy? Number one, it destroys the doctrine of church discipline. Absolutely destroys the doctrine of church discipline. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. You can't do this in a universal, invisible church. So let me just make another church, and we'll just say we have two of them, right? So then if we have two of them, then I don't have to follow and be obedient, right? I don't have to be obedient to the one. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 50. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Which one? Tell it unto the church? You mean an invisible, mystical one? How do I tell it? Do I go tell it to the internet? When Facebook asks me, how you doing, or how do you feel? Do I go tell it to them? Well, so-and-so treated me wrong, and I tried to take two or three witnesses to him, but it didn't work. Can you help me, Facebook? Yeah. Are you going to tell it to YouTube? Who do you tell it to?
Google.
Do you tell it to Google? Do I tell it to Siri? Who do I tell it to? It doesn't work, folks. Why? Because these were given to the local New Testament church. Not some mystical, invisible church, some universal church that doesn't even exist. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or more, or one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. He said, if they neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Well, how are you going to let him be as a heathen? What does that mean? You cast him out. So how do you do that? How do you cast him out of the invisible church? Do you block him on Facebook? Is that how you do it? I've blocked you on Facebook. You're no longer part of the invisible church. How do you kick him out of something that's invisible? How do you do that? You can't.
Amen.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't. I'm going to kick him out of the invisible church. Well, hey, look, buddy, you're out of the invisible church right now. You're out right now. You don't even realize it. You're just out. I don't know how you'd get back in because I don't know how you get out. How do you find it? Where is it at? It's not there. You just kicked out of nowhere. You're just like wandering around. In the invisible church. You're in the cloud. That's right. We're going to ban you to the cloud. I guess that's what they do. I don't know. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, who does the loosing and the binding? The church. He said, tell it unto the church. He said, the church does the loosing of the bind. Again, I say to you that, now watch this, because this is where they take this. See? Well, see? If there's two of us and we're the church. That's not what it says. You just rip that verse out of context, and then you're just grabbing it, and you're being like, this is what it applies. You know it doesn't. Listen to this. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What is he talking about? He's going back to the church and he's saying, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That's all he's saying. He's not saying it's a different church. He's not saying that if two people gather over there, well, that's a church. So we have a church. We're going home. We have a church. There's two of us here, so we're a church. Come on. You have to do that on purpose. That doesn't say that there. You're making that up. Why? To appease your conscience, to make yourself feel better that you're part of some mystical, universal, invisible body that doesn't exist.
Right.
And so you can do whatever you want. Who do you tell it to? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 5? It was written to what? To who? The church at Corinth. Right? That's what it was written. Yeah. The church of Corinth. And what did he say to them? He said that you need to depart from these people. Have no company with him. A man that is called a fornicator, a man that is any of these things. What did he say? That's right. Deliver him unto Satan. Well, how do you do that in the universal invisible church? How do you do that? Doesn't work, does it? Not at all. He said, it is reported commonly there's fornication among you, and such among you in the invisible church. No, in Corinth, in the church at Corinth. He's talking to a church. He is writing. These are epistles to churches. They are written to churches. This is written to a local, visible assembly that has a lot of problems, that he names names. He names names and he says what's going on. It's not that hard. He said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you're unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So he says to purge him out, right? We've got to get rid of him. Well, how do you do that in a universal invisible church? You can't purge him out. What do you purge him out of? You're kicked out of this mystical body. It doesn't work. It's just foolishness. It's nonsense. Who is binding? An internet blogger? What, does one internet blogger talk to another internet blogger? Does one YouTube video guy make another YouTube video guy? Well, they do that, and then they war against each other, and neither one of them have any authority to do what they're doing. Neither one of them are out of a local New Testament church. None of them have any authority. But these people are swaying thousands of people. And they also make people believe that they're receiving a full diet of what they need. And they're not. Why? Because some guy exposes apostasy? Wonderful. That's good to do. Yes, I'm not against that. But listen to me. That's not a full diet of the Word of God. That's not going to teach doctrine. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to teach you all the way through these Baptist principles. Because number one, you need them, and there's some young men here that need to understand and get grounded in this. Right now, so they understand, if you go out of this place, you go out with these principles. That's exactly how you go out. Not like these lone rangers that run around and do whatever they want to do. We'll get to those guys in a little while. You see, once you go down this road of universal invisible church, where all the church garbage comes in, we are all the church. There's no discipline. There's no discipline. Who disciplines who? You can do whatever you want. You know why there's safety in the local church? Now listen, I'm going to say it again. There's a lot of bad churches out there. We understand this, okay? We get it. But here's the point. You know what happens when a husband gets wrong with his wife and he's abusing her and he's neglecting her or whatever the case may be? If you're a member of a local New Testament church, if that church is biblical, then guess what they do? They deal with it. If the pastor gets out of line and he gets into heresy or he's doing wicked stuff, then you deal with it. I get a kick out of all these people do all these videos about pastoral abuse and pastoral authority and all this other stuff. They want to just control and do all this stuff. And they go into all that stuff, right? Well, who do you answer to? Mr. YouTube blogger, who do you answer to? Right. I answer to a local New Testament church here. Yeah. Who do you answer to? We have 10 to 13 men here that can do that can do what needs to be done if something is wrong. And they have the obligation to stand up and do it. Right. Not to make something up and turn tail and run when you can't prove any allegations that you have. Yep. Well, that's a little too real, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I'm feeling a lot better. Amen. I'm feeling a lot better. You know, I remember people calling Kent Hovind Pastor Hovind. Pastor of what? You pastor a flock. Who's the flock he's pastoring? Of a local, visible. I mean, last time I checked, sheep weren't invisible. They are right in front of you, and the shepherd was right in front of the sheep, and he took care of the flock. He wasn't a pastor. And you know what? There's no oversight over his ministry, so he does what he wants, and he's leading people astray. And he cannot answer questions. Stick to creation. Get right with God. Get grounded again and stop trying to answer all these questions you're trying to answer. It's ridiculous. Right. Right. But who can stop him? Who can stop him from doing it? Right. Nobody. Just does what he wants. Yep. Why? Because of this doctrine. Yep. Because of the universal invisible church doctrine. Yep. They can do what they want. Nobody stops him. What office does he hold? None. Who voted him in? Who laid hands on him? Who ordained him? What church does he execute the office of a bishop in? None. Nobody asks these questions. They just say, "Dear Abby, answer my question." I'm sorry, but let me help you with something, okay? Just because you specialize in creation doesn't mean you specialize in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
It is absolute 100% pride and arrogancy to believe that you can answer any question that somebody throws at you. I'll tell you right now, when you send me a bunch of questions or if you send me something right away or you try to hit me on the spot, I'll be honest and tell you, look, I don't know the answer to that. I have to study it. So why does everybody think that he's like Mr. Magician Man, that he can just come up with the question and he's like a guru and everybody runs? Why? Because of this foolish doctrine. That's why. Because anybody that has a ministry out there gets some validity that they call a ministry. They just get validity from it. Right. As long as you haven't been here. I mean, there's a big YouTube blogger or a YouTube guy out there, and he's telling people hell's not real or hell's not eternal. Those kind of guys out there everywhere. It's not very vigilant. It's not very Christian.
Come and meet me.
Yep. Amen.
Anyway. Listen, I'm not a universal church pastor. I'm a pastor and overseer of Old Paths Baptist Church, not the internet.
That's right.
I help people. That's part of being a Christian. Amen? And that's part of being a pastor in the sense of fulfilling the office for here to go out there and evangelize and help others. But my responsibility is here.
Right.
But I want to help people, so I help people online. There's nothing sinful about that, but I'm not their pastor.
Right. Yeah.
I can't be their pastor because they're not here. I don't have authority. God, listen, it's not because, not that I don't want to. Hey, I'd like to help everybody if I could and pastor a bunch of people. Not because I'm selfish, because I want to help them. But you know what? My authority lies here. I don't have any authority out there. And that's why those people won't respect you. That's why I stopped arguing with them. I just block them all. People say, oh, you block a lot of people. I sure do, because I ain't going to argue with them. I don't have time for it. I don't have the authority over them. I can't reason with them. They don't respect me at all, so why would I even bother?
Amen.
I'll plow in the field God's given me.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. You know what else they do? They do away with where are the officers at who rule this universal invisible church? Because turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. Because the church has offices. Well, where are their officers at? Where are the officers at in the universal visible church? This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Now, we're not going to go over those qualifications tonight. What's that? What? I didn't hear. What's that? Right, them that are without. Without where? Without the church. That's right. Yeah, that's right, on the outside of the church. Outside of the church, that's right. So, here's the thing. When you look at this, what you see is that you see qualifications, which we're going to talk about in a sermon coming up in a few weeks or whenever I get to it here. But we're going to talk about the qualifications of a bishop. We're going to go through some of those. Some people are going to be surprised at some of those, because I'm going to show the hypocrisy of fundamentalists.
Amen.
And I'm going to enjoy it too, so you know. So let me ask you, who vetted the latest YouTube guy? You know, some of these guys have great videos, but who vetted them? Whoever checked them out? Who makes sure their qualifications are there as they minister unto people, right? These people are out there ministering unto people, and they're doing it. They're striving unlawfully. They're just doing whatever they want to do. Where's the checks and balances with those guys? None. They have none. Do you see how they give you the impression that, well, all these churches are bad and all this stuff is bad and all the pastoral authority is bad? Well, yeah, but you know what? You don't have any oversight over you. You just do what you want all the time. If you don't like somebody, you just make a video about them. If you're in my church, you little runt, you did that to somebody that I didn't think you should do it to, you'd really hear about it.
Amen.
Run around gossiping about people all the time, not reproving false doctrine. No, you don't like something they said, or you twist their words, or you soundbite them, or something like that, and that's how you spend your day doing things like that, just absolutely misrepresenting people? Go ahead, make a video about me and misrepresent me. I don't care. You can't hurt me. This is the Lord's church. You come with it. Do whatever you want to do. I know where I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm right with God, and I know I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do.
Amen.
Give it your best shot. Should their teachings be followed in this universal invisible church when they're not walking orderly and a part of a local New Testament church?
Right.
You know, the same pastor they look at the qualifications of, some of these guys have their wives out making all the money for them.
Yep.
So let me get this straight. You can point a finger at pastors about things like that, but you don't want to... Wait a minute. So no, who vets you? I mean, what about you? What about your life? Oh, you can stay secret and hide behind a computer and don't have to deal with any people.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Yeah, that's pretty simple stuff, isn't it? They set themselves up outside of the Lord's qualifications to protect His sheep. And if they lead people over a cliff, nothing happens. They do what they want to do, and thousands of people follow them. Thousands. Some of these guys are getting rich off people of God, too. Some of these guys are making $100,000 a year making YouTube videos. They're getting advertised, and then people are sending them money and everything, and they're making money off all this stuff. What happens if they do it? What happens if they do wrong, though? Nothing. No one rules in the universal invisible church, by the way. No one rules at all. Think about that for a second. There's no rulership there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. Now, as much as people don't like it in the land of wickedness in Laodicea today, as much as people don't like it, let me tell you something right now. God set down an order, okay? God set down an order and he set down a rule. That's what he did. Now, I know people don't like it. And boy, they don't like to hear about pastoral authority. And they don't like to hear about bishops. And they don't like to hear about overseers. But we're going to go ahead and take some time, not today, but in another day. And we're going to define those words, okay? Because words, you know, you just can't get around once you start defining them. You just can't get around them like they want to. They never want to talk about those words, right? See, some of you, you're in a church, so you don't see the problem. You're probably thinking, well, what's the big deal? Yeah, you don't minister to thousands of people that hear about it, okay, that I hear about and I see. And you know what? Our church has been a blessing to people to get them into churches and get them walking orderly. And you shouldn't despise that ministry. That is part, there's no difference in that and evangelism and going out. It is evangelism online. It needs to be done still. Everywhere. Why? Because the devil's going to use it. That's right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Nobody has to do that with a YouTube blogger, though, do they? Or they get to live whatever life they do out there, and nobody knows what they're doing. In the Universal Invisible Church with all these ministries set up, and you find out they're corrupt, and they get all kinds of money, and they're... And I'm not talking about just those guys. I'm talking about Creation Research Ministries, all these other people. They're into false doctrine. They're leading people away from the Word of God. Hey, listen, we're going to start printing our own Bibles someday. You know why? Because I don't trust any of these people out there. I just don't. We got to do it ourselves. Our eyes looked upon, and we handled.
Amen.
Right? That our eyes look upon and we handle. I want to do everything right here. Hey, he said it's his church. He said we could do it, so let's do it. In fact, he commanded us to do it, so let's do it. That's the way I see it. Why wait? We'll study it out and do what we need to do. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Uh-oh, well, that's ugly. That's not fun, is it? We don't want to do that. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Seems like a pattern there, doesn't it? Yes, you see, God has safety measures in his churches for accountability. These online ministries attempting to replace the church and not encourage people to go to church. There's a lot of them that do that. They don't encourage people to go to seek out a church. Not all of them, but a lot of them don't. Many of them today are not trying to get people into local churches. They're seeking to replace the local church. This is our online church. And some pastors are calling that. This is our online church. No, I'm not starting any page that has an online church, okay? No. We minister to people out there that don't have any place to go, yes. But it's not. They're not members of our local New Testament church. Amen. But you can see when you follow proper biblical order, what happens? Men move here. Right? That's what happens. Now, some people get upset about that. I don't know why. It's kind of weird, but anyway. What's that? It's a takeover? Yeah. That's funny. You know, and for those that are scattered abroad, I understand where you are, and so does the Lord. Keep your heart right with him, and he'll direct your paths and bring you to a church or get you somewhere where you need to go. But an online ministry is not a church. Some of these online ministries, all they do is make videos against everything and nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with reproving people and showing the truth, but that's one aspect of a ministry. We need preaching on holiness, righteousness, separation, being edified, taught by the saints. And they need to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. And you can't do that unless you're in a local New Testament church. You can preach the gospel, yeah, but you can't fulfill the Great Commission. Because that's given to the church, which we're going to talk about in a minute here. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about that too. By the way, of course I'm for warning people. Keep doing it. But it should not replace the Lord's church. Next, the doctrine of biblical unity is destroyed. The doctrine of biblical unity is absolutely destroyed. We will not have unity with some universal invisible church of people that don't see us every day, that we don't work with every day, that we don't preach with every day, that we don't pray for every day. We're not. How do you have unity with all those people? Yeah, what are you supposed to be united with? All the saved, all over. Well, listen, I'm not uniting with a Presbyterian. All right? They don't know what baptism is. They need to learn it. Then they'd be a Baptist. But you know what? I'm not going to unite with the Lutherans. I'm not going to unite with the new evangelicals or the evangelical free people or the non-denominational people that are very confused. Who started the non-denominational movement? That's for another day. We're not going to have unity with these people. Why? Because that's not how unity is done. Unity is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3. Turn there, please. That's where you find unity, in his church. And his churches are local, visible assemblies. Amen? Called out assemblies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then going on to verse number 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're going to talk about the body of Christ, but not today. But the body of Christ is the local New Testament church.
Amen.
Thank you. And I'll explain it and prove it. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Look at this. Listen, you will never grow properly and fully the way God wants you to, the maturity God wants you to be in, unless you're a part of his local New Testament church.
Amen.
That's just the truth of it, friend.
Amen.
Some of you can testify to the fact how much you've grown since you've been here.
Amen.
And you have testified to the fact of how much you've grown since you've been here. Why? Because it's God's way, that's why.
Amen.
You can make all the excuses or try to change it or say whatever, but you know what? People grow in churches because that's God's way. I'm not saying that people don't grow at all out there. Yeah, they're Christians that'll grow, but they're not going to grow the way God wants them to. They're not going to grow the fullness. Why? Because God said it right here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, where is that done? For the work in the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Like on the internet, right? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the way, I'm talking mostly about the teachers on there.
Yep.
By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Right.
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. Are you fitly joined together and compacted with people 1,000 miles away?
Nope.
How could you possibly be fitly joined together, compacted with people 1,000 miles away? You can't be. Why? Because that's not God's way.
Amen.
That's not God's way. It's not how it works. Yeah, we can have, I have fellowship with people like that, when you know, away and everything like that are away, and they listen to our sermons, and we've helped a lot of them. That doesn't, but they're not in our church. They're benefiting from this church. Amen?
Yep.
Because when you do things God's way, other people benefit from that. Other people are blessed from that, right? They are going to be blessed from that. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Man, you can't have an arm in Texas. You can have an arm in California, right?
Right.
It's not going to work that way. They have to be members of this local assembly. You don't have a body that's like spread out everywhere. Where it's like, hey, my arm's over there, my head's over there, my feet are over there. You ain't going to walk very well like that. I mean, if you're just sitting there one day and your foot took off, you couldn't walk. Right? You'd be dismembered. That's right. Right? Where'd my foot at? Your foot calls you from like California. Hey, I'm in California. What are you doing there? You better get back here. I can't go anywhere without you. Do you understand? That's how the body works. Same way. That's how it works. That's how the local New Testament church works. So those doctrines get destroyed, right? They just destroy those doctrines. Those offices, those doctrines, they just get destroyed. I mean, what do we separate over? How are we going to come into unity? What do we separate over? Well, unity gets destroyed, and then we make excuses. Why? Because we have a universal invisible mentality, and we can practice things whatever way we want. Right? Unity is primarily dealing with the Lord's church. I really, honestly, the longer that I've been doing it, I really don't care if I have a lot of unity with people out there that hate me. It really doesn't bother me that much. I'm not supposed to have unity with them. I'm supposed to have unity with you. Amen?
Amen.
The world's going to hate us. Lots of people are going to misunderstand us. And if God wanted those people here, they'd be here and they'd get along here. But if God don't want them here, they won't be here and you won't get along with them. And that's just how it is. That's how it is. Amen. Makes sense. It's not possible to be in unity with some people. But here, if they are not in unity, they will leave. Or if they become heretics, we vote them out or whatever the case may be. They're gone, right? You can't do that in the universal invisible monster. You can't do that. Right. They're not even on the same page. You're not even together at the same page. In the same, it's not going to work. You cannot properly practice separation either in the universal invisible church. You can't do it. You're not connected with them. There is no covenant with them. How can you really and truly separate from them when you really are not connected to them like you would be in the Lord's church? That's why the design is the Lord's church. It has always been God's church. It has always been local visible bodies. It's not possible. That's why you can maintain order and discipline in an assembly. You can't maintain order and discipline in a national ministry. How could you do that? You can't. They always go bad. Why? Because there's no local control of them. That's why. That's why local autonomous churches is God's order. It's God's plan. It's God's way. Amen. That's God's way. How can you possibly come out from among them and be separate and practice that secondary separation then when they do wrong? How can you possibly do that? You can't. It doesn't work. That order will not be followed. Yeah, I can stay away from people that are heretics. Obviously, that's not hard to do. But really, it doesn't practically work the way that the Bible says by trying this universal invisible thing. It doesn't work. It's not possible. Next, this leads to despising the Lord's church. That's what it was. This universal invisible doctrine, it leads to despising the Lord's churches. That's exactly what they do. To despise means to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of. That's what it means. To have the lowest opinion of. How many today would rather sit at home and they have the lowest opinion of the Lord's church? It means very little to them. That's sad. It really is sad. Because I'm going to tell you what. You and I either believe the Bible or we don't. Amen. But we don't pay lip service to it.
Amen.
You either believe in the Lord's church, you either believe in the local New Testament church, you either believe in God's ordinances, you either believe in his authority, you either believe in that or you don't.
Amen.
I know this verse is pertaining to the Lord's Supper, but the principle is still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? That's a sermon title all in itself. Despise ye the church of God?
Yep.
Think about that. There's a despising that goes on today of the church of God. They despise the authority of the Lord's churches. They despise the Great Commission. Listen, the Great Commission is not just the gospel. It isn't. It isn't just the gospel. It isn't just preaching Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Let me help you and a bunch of other theologians. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. It is not just the gospel. The Great Commission was given to the Lord's churches. By the way, we're going to talk about when the church started and what the church is and its origin and when it started and all those things. We'll probably talk about that on Sunday. And we'll cover the reason why there was a church when this commission was given.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let me ask you, how do I teach them all things without churches? Right, how do you teach them the ordinances? This do in remembrance of me. Why? They despise the ordinances because they despise the Great Commission. You know, what they do is they take the Great Commission. Schofield did that. Schofield took the Great Commission away from the churches and gave it to individuals. That's exactly what he did. He says it in his writings. Page 429, I believe it is, on his writings. He said this. He said that the commission was not given to the church. It was given to individuals. Well, I'm sorry, Schofield, but you don't get to redefine the Bible. It's very clear that there was a church there, and again, I'll prove that on Sunday. I don't have time to right now, but I definitely will prove that on Sunday. Amen. That there was a church there, and the commission was given, the Great Commission was given. And who baptizes? The church. It's done through the local New Testament church. Amen. Yeah, uh-oh. Yeah, I had somebody go and say, well, anybody can baptize anybody. No, that's called getting wet. That's not called baptism, just so you know. No, that's called getting wet. Anybody can get wet. That's for sure. Anybody can go swimming. Yeah, that's what they said, yeah. Yeah, anybody can baptize anybody. Anybody can baptize anybody. Well, no, that's not baptism. Oh, any Christian can baptize any Christian. They said, I'm sorry, let me go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How do I teach them to observe all things? Through the church. Why do you think there was 1,000 churches that were started from Sandy Creek? Why do you think? Because they understood the Bible. They understood proper order. And when Shubal Stearns was baptized and they laid hands on him and he sent him out to preach the gospel and to start church, why? Why do you think he understood that he got that? Because he's seen that all these sheep were scattered abroad and having no shepherds. So Shubal started, and these people were saved, but they had no shepherds. They had no biblical baptism. They had nothing. So what did he do? He brought it to him. The Lord used him. Amen. And that's why you see the South. That's why you saw the South be the stronghold of truth for a very long time. The Tower of Truth for a very long time. That's why. That's why you even had a Bible Beltway. That's why you had it. Because of that. Not just the Great Awakening, but the church, the greatest church revivals that ever took place through church planting. That's why. Because Baptists understand the Great Commission. If they understand Baptist doctrine, they understand who the commission is given to. You can't on your own teach all things whatsoever he has commanded on your own. You can't. Why? Because you can't administer the ordinances. They're given to the church. And they despise the church so much, though, like Schofield did. So church planting and evangelism, which is the culmination of discipleship, is given to any believer, they say. What about the order? What about rulership? What about qualifications? You see, it's nonsense. It leaves a despising of the Lord's church. Without a commission, no command to start a church that Paul laid down the order of in the epistles. So what did Paul lay down all this order for? For just the fun of it? Right? Paul lays down all this order, what, for fun? It's nonsense is what it is. Why would Jesus and the Apostle Paul lay down all the order for something that is universal and visible and has no order or offices? It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. Think about it for a second. This is what people think out there, though, because they've been taught, they've redefined what, see, the devil knows, okay? The devil's not going to erase the word church. He can't do it. So what does he do? He redefines the word, just like he did with repentance. He didn't do away with the word repentance. He redefined it. Right. He just takes all the strength out of it. Jesus told them, do this. He told them to baptize, and this do in remembrance of me. This do till I come. Right? But they despise proper baptism and authority. They say, well, baptism is given to any man or woman walking down the street that says they're saved, because we live in the land of make-believe, and we can do what we want to do because we answer to the universal invisible church with no offices, no authority, and no accountability. See, they never say that. No, but that's what they practice. I'm saying it. They're doing it. I'm just defining it for you. Amen. That's all. Right. Yeah, exactly. They say we answer to no one. Some of those guys talk about controlling pastors, but they don't answer to anybody. They don't answer to anybody. Oh, yeah, we've seen a whole lot of control the other day, didn't we? Yeah, that's right. You know, in a church, you could church a pastor who sends his wife to work to pay the bills so he can pastor. But in the universal, invisible church, that guy doesn't get churched. He gets lauded as a great person. Yeah, he can even take other people's information and give it out to somebody else. So, you can do anything you want to on the internet. People do what they want to all the time. Why? Because there's no accountability, no order, nothing. They despise the ordinances. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Who were the ordinances given to? His church. And how are you to keep them? Just as they were given. Well, they were given to the church, and in Corinth, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's laying down directions. He's laying down his, what does he say? Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Paul says, I delivered you, the church of Corinth, the ordinances. Keep them that way. Right? 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 2. Well, who was it written to? It was written to the church at Corinth. Is it any believers that can just call it the Lord's Supper? With no examination, by the way? By the way, before self-examination of the table, there is church examination per 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and discipline and order that is laid down upon their repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Right? That's before you even get to the table, but not in the universal invisible mess. That's why you have all these churches that just allow anybody to come into their churches and have communion with them. Well, that's a universal invisible church doctrine. You just let them come in. Why? Well, we're all the church. No, this is a local New Testament church. Whatever you're a part of is your local New Testament church, and I don't have authority to administer ordinances to you at all. And we don't have any authority. We don't have any oversight over you. We don't know who you are. You could be a serial killer. I don't know who you are. You could be a rapist. I don't know, you could be a fornicator. You could be you could have just got cast out of your church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and hopped over to Ephesus and said, hey, I want to take communion with you guys. Well, go back and get a letter from Ephesus saying that it's okay. And we can talk about it, right? Transfer you here, right? But without that, we don't know who you are. Amen. Oh, that sounds very controlling. No, it sounds very biblical. You ought to look into it. It's called order. That's right. There is a judgment as to whether they have repented or not. We do that. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and been born again, that they're baptized and members who partake in the Lord's Supper. But they despise these offices. They say they're no respecter of persons, yet they really mean they respect no one. They have no respect for anyone at all. I've seen the Spirit. I've watched them. They have no respect for anyone. They despise the assembly. That's the next thing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. By the way, look how you're supposed to do this, too. It's remarkable. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Well, where do you do that in that? You do that with the assembly. You do that in the assembly. That's part of your holding fast. Look at that. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do I do that? How do we provoke one another unto love and good works? How do you do that? Well, I do that through my internet page. Well, nobody can see how you treat your wife. Nobody can see how you treat your children. Nobody can see if you're a good father, you're a good mother. Nobody can. Nobody knows if you're charitable, if you give to the brethren. Nobody knows if you care for one another. Nobody knows if you sacrifice for your brethren. Nobody knows anything about you. You're just a guy behind a computer screen. But you've claimed this authority to run all these ministries and do all these things. Right? But where does it say this happens? He says, look, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more, amen? Why? Because the days are getting dark and deceptive and wicked, and that spirit of Antichrist and rebellion is rising. And we are seeing it all over the place, this despising of God's order, God's word, everything. It's being despised today. That's right. So much the more as you see the day approaching. You need it more and more. You and I need to assemble together more and more. You and I need one another. We need to edify one another and build each other up and encourage each other, because we get discouraged because it gets dark and down out there. And we need to lift each other up and hold each other up and pray for each other and love each other. That's what we need in a dark world. Not to go run off and hide in our homes somewhere and wait for the Antichrist to show up. Yeah, stand. We need each other. We need to strengthen each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to encourage each other. That's right. We need that. We ought not despise the Lord's church. We need it. Amen. Next, the danger of parachurch organizations and ministries. You know, I really believe if it wasn't for the universal invisible church doctrine, we would not have men like Benny Hinn. We would not have these kind of men out there. They would have no place. They would have no money, because nobody would be supporting them. The only reason why Benny Hinn does what he does is because he's getting rich at it. If he didn't make any money at it, he wouldn't be doing it. If these televangelists weren't making any money, they wouldn't be doing it. They're not. That's not a labor of love. They're a joke. They're a show. They're a game. They're stealing from people. They're making merchandise of the people of God. Why? Because you're sending them money. That's why. You're supporting it. All these people are supporting these parachurch organizations. I don't believe any of these wicked multi-billion dollar false ministries could exist. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, people like that. If people understood the true doctrine of the local New Testament church and not the mystical invisible one, do you think a guy like Kenneth Copeland would be a billionaire? No, he wouldn't be a billionaire, because people would laugh him out. They'd be like, well, you're not a part of any local New Testament church. Whose authority are you under? You do whatever you want to do. You don't have any authority. We're not going to support you. Why do you think think about this. Spiritually, whatever else, you think about supporting something local. We talk about food. We eat local food and make sure that, you know what I mean? Think about that. Think about the concept. Why? Because we can look at it. We can see it. We know about it. We know where it comes from. All those kind of things. Right? There's accountability there. Amen. But with these men that set themselves up as YouTube pastors and YouTube preachers and YouTube evangelists and you know, YouTube prophets, yeah, and all these other things, they set themselves up with all these things, there's no accountability for them. Many people are content to send their money, not for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ to be used in his local church, but it goes to these huge ministries that are corrupt and destroy the truth. I see these ministries online and they're like begging for money. I have people that contact us and say, hey, we don't know how to give to you. Could you tell us how to give? Why? Because we don't put a beg thing. If somebody wants to donate something, there's like a little donate button somewhere, I think. I don't know. Nobody can ever find it, so I don't know where it is. But it's somewhere on there, I think. I don't know. I don't care if they find it, and that's not the point. My point is that, you know what? We're not like worried about that. We send out our CDs for free. We don't sell books here. We're not selling things here.
Amen.
Like that. We're not going to do that. Why? We're not a business.
Amen.
We're a church.
Amen.
We're going to print. We're not trying to make a brand name.
Yeah.
All right. So what do? We send CDs out. We send like 800 to 1,000 of them out a month. That's what we do for free. We don't charge people for them. The Lord provides.
Amen. Yeah, right.
And it's just the opposite of all these people that are running around begging for money all the time.
Yep.
Please help us keep the lights on. Right? We do hours of research, and this helps us keep the electricity on. Really? Because God keeps it on here.
Amen.
God does it.
Yep.
Right? So what's the point of that? What's the point of that? Well, when you're outside of the local New Testament church, I mean, you're outside of God's protection, his order, and you'll be found wanting. You know what? Anything that this ministry has ever needed, God has always provided. Anything. And I mean anything. I mean to the tune of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. All the time. Amen. And he provides it. Why? Because we do fundraisers? No, we don't do fundraisers. No, we don't sell Girl Scout cookies. No bake sales. The Satanic Church does bake sales. No car washes with scantily clad girls. Or boys. Right? But you think about it. No, we don't. Why? We just trust the Lord. And God provides. And people do donate to us. They do send money to us. Not because we strong arm or anything. Yeah. That's right. And you know what? It's through his local New Testament church. It's through that proper order. It's through that proper, and that God blesses. How about this? Even the huge Bible college movement is false and foolish. Set up a mega church organization. All these big colleges today, they lead people astray. Now you got like West Coast and their music problem and all these other places. You know what? They wouldn't have half of the power that they had if it was not for people supporting them and believing in this kind of universal invisible mentality. That I got to send them off to somebody else to train them. Really? You do? Well, what God call you for? You would never have these men. You would never have these men cause the damage that they've caused. You wouldn't. If they didn't have this metropolitanite concept of, you know, big mother churches control everything and send all your youth to this college and send all your young people to this college. And so then they build up that college and it gets real big and the pastor makes a lot of money and they get a lot of notoriety and they go around everywhere and they get really big and famous and the little churches get starved out. And I don't understand why they're so dumb, why they keep sending their people there. I just don't get that. It's like even somebody simply in business could look at something and they could say, you know, that's kind of dumb. I'm like, let's say I was a salesman. I said, you know, a sales manager. You know, I'm sending all of my salesmen over to him, and they're selling for him, and he's making money. Well, that's kind of dumb, right? Now, I know this is a ministry, and it's not sales, but the concept is, why would I send all my people off to somebody else to train them? I mean, like, what are we doing? What'd God call you to do? But that's that universal mentality. That's what it is. That's where that comes from. And we would see more churches planted if it wasn't for that too. Right? Here's another one for you. Mission boards. What's a mission board? I don't see one of those in my King James Bible. A mission board. Hey, a mission board. We need to be a part of a mission board. We need to send our people to a mission board and they'll handle all their... No, no. We'll do it right here. Right, it's pragmatism. That's right. No, we'll do it right here. If you want a mission board, it's this church. That's the board right here. But not missions, because we don't believe in missionaries like they do. We believe in evangelists. We believe in pastors. We believe in the offices, not missionaries like that. That's Catholic. Now, I know people use it and Baptists use it. I'm not saying they're Catholics. I'm saying it's not biblical. There's offices. And when we've gotten away from these offices, we've gotten away from these gifts, guess what's happened? We had to adopt some other strategy and some other plan. That's what happened. And that's because of a universal mentality, universal church mentality. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's right. The same commit thou to faithful men right here. Faithful men. Amen. You have the truth and you commit it to faithful men. Amen. And you do it right here. By the way, that was written in what's called the pastoral epistles. Those were given to pastors. That was, you know, I mean, the design is for a pastor, right? To understand, to learn, to grow. Young Timothy, young Titus, right? Young pastors, young preachers, right? Those young men that would train other men to do that, where are they training them at? In the local churches, the visible assemblies. When he told Titus to ordain elders in every city, he wasn't starting invisible bodies, but there were bodies all over, and he was ordaining for those bodies, those local bodies. But some of you might have been in church for a long time. You say, "I already knew all this." Well, you know what? There's a lot of young men here that have never heard this. They don't know. And I have a responsibility to train them and make sure it's drilled into their minds so they understand that nonsense is just that, nonsense. That's right. Listen, I don't need Dr. Big Britches to train anyone. In fact, I probably can't stomach Dr. Big Britches. Anyway. And I would feel I betrayed the Lord in sending our sons in the ministry off to them. God forbid, we are his church and we have what we need by his grace to do all things that he's commanded us to do. We wouldn't have these wolves if people believed the Bible that they give, that you give through the Lord's churches and you don't worry about big, huge mega ministries to get rich. Amen. By the way, and I think this is the last one, but I'm not for sure, but I got to hurry. Universal heresy, the universal invisible church heresy promotes selfishness and self-will. It promotes a selfishness. It does. It exalts selfishness. Well, I can sit out on my own and I can be so hypercritical that nobody's good enough but me. I can be so absolutely hypercritical in my life that nobody can be as good as me. So guess what? I'll just stay at home because nobody's attained that yet. So I'll just look in the mirror and I'll take care of me. Right, right. Listen, you don't have to, listen to me, let me explain this to you. You don't have to learn and grow with anyone in the universal church. Do you understand that? You don't. These guys, if they get upset, they just make a video. You can't do that in a local New Testament church. All right, you could, but you might make somebody upset. You got to see him the next day, okay? So you make it, so let's say I was mad at Paul and I went, okay, that's it. That's it. I'm turning my video on right now. I'm making a video. Look, Paul! And I just start nailing Paul on everything, right? Well, I blast that all over YouTube, and then I walk up to Paul on Sunday. Hey, brother! How you doing? Doesn't work that way, does it? No, that wouldn't last very long, would it? No. Well, guess what? You want to know why these guys can do that? Because they don't face anybody. They don't have to face anyone. Okay? They don't have to get along with anybody. They don't have to forbear one another. They don't have to deal with people on a daily basis. So they can shoot their arrows at God's people all day long and do all those things. Why? Because they don't have to stand before people. They don't have to stand with people. They're not going out warring. You know what? You know why it's so important? Because you know what? We have 10 guys. What do we have? 13 people out preaching? 13 men out last Saturday preaching? Praise the Lord. Think about that for one second. If we're not getting along and we're all, you know how hard that is to go preach with 13 guys when we're being negative and we're not together, we're not on the same page, we're not, you know, we don't have unity, or we're upset about something, or somebody's upset at something. You know how hard and awkward that is? You'll kill the spirit, man. You just kill it. Right, so what do you have to do? You have to learn in a local church, not that invisible, mystical, invisible one out there, but you have to learn in a local church to get along with people. Amen. You got to learn to let some things go. Amen. You got to learn not to be a selfish jerk all the time and say, you know what, so what somebody offended me? I ain't that great anyway. Amen. Right? That's what you have to do in a local New Testament church, right, to get along. Hey, I ain't that great anyway. I got my own problems to deal with. Right? Yeah, me. I can look in the mirror. I can see who I am, right? I can learn to forbear. I can learn to put up with some things. Listen to me. I've taken things from this church, from people, for years and not said anything to any of you about it. Until it came out, because it had to. Probably is a good thing. But you know what? I took it. Why? For the love of the brethren, that's why. For the sake of unity. For trying to love people through some problems that they have. And you either get right or you get out. That's what happens. I've always said it. I'll say it again. I'll say it till I die by the grace of God. You either get right or you get out. That's what happens. If you can't let go and be fitly joined and compacted in the body, then you will flee. You'll sever yourself and take off. Why? Because you can't do it. You can't lay down your spiritual pride. So you'll leave. Yeah. That's right. And the lump gets purged. Yep. It's gone. Just goes. Why? Because you have to deal with real issues here, okay? When you're in a church, when you're in a universal invisible, you don't have, what do you deal with real issues? All you have to do is shut your computer off and not answer your Facebook page for 5 days. And then everything goes away. It's a whole new world and everything's changed in 5 days or 2 days or whatever. Everything's changed. Nobody's talking about the same thing. Everybody forgets about it and you just move on. Well, that's not reality, friend. This is reality. Every day, waking up with people, praying for people, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Not what some of those guys do out there, and they just make their videos, cause their damage, do what they want to do, and don't care about anybody else. And try to hyper-examine something that they're out on the outside of, which I think is laughable. To try to tell people, oh, I know how this church is. I know how that church is. I know how this is. Really? You don't. Honestly, you really don't. Yeah, you really don't have a clue. You think you have an idea, but you don't. But listen, whether you want to face it or not, listen to me closely, men. We are in an internet age. And you can back off and act like none of this stuff is real. It doesn't happen, but it does. It's real. And it affects people every day of their lives. Yes, and it's evil, some of this stuff is. So these people become hyper nitpickers in the universal church movement. Why? Because they don't have to get along with anybody. Something doesn't go their way, they just make a video about somebody else, or they just ignore it. They just try to damage them. Listen, we're not talking about calling out heresy. We're talking about just immature things. Listen, they don't mature. They never have to learn to grow up into him in all things. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. For some of you, this is not going to be easy to be a member of a local. You're going to have to, sometimes you have to lay down your own self-interests and your own. That's why a pastor can't be self-willed. Well, I'm just going to do whatever. You know, there are times that I think something is a good idea to do, but it's not the right time to do it. And if I was self-willed, I'd just go ahead and do it. But I know it's not the right time to do it, so I have to let it go. It's not good. It wouldn't be good for people at that point. But you know what? There are so many people out there, they don't care about that. Listen, you're going to have to, in order to be in a body, one thing you have to, now you don't lay down the truth, you don't lay down any of those things, but one thing you will lay down is self. You have to. You got to deny yourself. Jesus said if you even want to follow him and be his disciple, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow him. What does that mean? Well, I'm denying myself. That means when I'm in his body and I'm being discipled and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ and I'm part of his church, guess what? I have to deny myself. So when somebody offends me or upsets me or says something to me, I need to be careful not to just lose it or blow up, right? Or threaten bodily harm to somebody. They never have to learn to mature like that, though. And so it makes them spiritually proud. Why? Well, because if not everything is perfectly the way that I think it should be said, how it should be said, and everything else, then guess what? I become hypercritical, and I'm not going to be a part of that. So I'm going to take all my marbles, and I'm going to go home. And that's what happens. No church is good enough. No teaching is good enough. No pastor is good enough. No brethren are good enough. Only they can teach their family. And they are self-willed and care not for other brethren. Usually they're immature and lack the power of God in what they do and the discernment to make good decisions. Not concerned with their brethren's well-being, only what's good for them and driven by their own ambitions and desires. Right? I'm telling you, there are some YouTube people out there and they have hundreds of thousands of followers following them. And they are teaching heresies, plain and simple heresies that are leading men into disaster. They are teaching against biblical repentance. They are teaching against the doctrine of hell. They are teaching against all kinds of things. And they are leading people astray. And there's no accountability. Why? Because people don't understand this doctrine of the universal invisible church as being false and phony. So they think, well, we're all just the church, and here's a teacher trying to teach us all. Right. And they're leading people astray. They're damaging people. People are being harmed by this. It's dangerous, folks. It's a dangerous doctrine because it has no authority, no discipline, no order. Chaos is all it is. But in a biblical church, all those things can be checked by the body. Somebody's self-will. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. Wait, hang on a minute now. You can't, okay? You got to relax, step back, and wait. Right? These people reject any pastoral authority at all and mock it and call churches cults because they mock and despise the Lord's churches. So they call them cults. Oh, you guys are really cultic. Why? Because we all love one another and we stand with each other and we go war together. What did you think? You're going to take a bunch of men that go out and fight the devil every week and you're just going to just start talking about them and they're not going to defend themselves? Like they're going to be scared of your little videos or something? They're going to back off and not say anything? When you slander them and lie about their church and call it a cult? Listen, it's not because of us. It's because it's the Lord's church. You're slandering the Lord's church. Do you understand? Have you no fear of God? Have you no fear of God at all that you slander the Lord's church like it's nothing? Amen. Really? I would be scared if I was you. I would be terrified. Not because I would do anything, because I have no power over that. But you know what? The God of heaven will do something.
Yeah, right, he will.
Yeah. The God of the Bible kills people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he's holy. And you know what? He loves his church, too.
Yep.
He's a God of order. And discipline, not chaos. And I understand why some of these people think like that. They accuse the Lord's church of being a cult. You want to know why they do? Here's why. Because New Testament churches and Christianity is so foreign today that when they see it, they are taken aback by it. They don't know what to think of it. Wait a minute, really? There's actually people that believe this and they're all in one room together and they all assemble together and they all go out and they preach together and they all pray for each other and they all fellowship together. And you mean they show up to church on Sunday and they don't try to race out right when it's over before the fake handshake time is done and the pastor runs back before the prayer says amen and he walks back and he shakes everybody's hand in a real formal way and everybody like that? You mean because they don't run out? Because they don't? No, we actually run out of time before anybody wants to leave. Why? Because they didn't come here to leave. They're not putting their time in. It's not prison. It's not jail. Right? They're not putting their time in and leaving. They actually enjoy getting away from the world and coming to the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And my answer to them is, calm down, son. Just learn and grow and accept the truth of it. We just believe we have what the Lord promised, and we're not going to back off of it because some skinny, pencil-necked despisers of the Lord's church come out with a gang of men of a baser sort to threaten us.
Amen.
Or even because all hell tries to shake and break it. Listen, I'm just more determined now than I've ever been.
Amen.
You know, persecution does always strengthen, bro. That's absolutely right. Because I've had a lot of struggles the last 3 weeks, but I'll tell you what, some good old fashioned persecution this week really got me fired up.
Amen.
We're just getting started, but this is almost over because we got to get out of here. See, you can't bring your creation ministry under a local church authority because then you can't get away with doing whatever you want to do and all your heresy.
Yep.
Right? Can't do that. Right, if you came to a local church, you'd have to start teaching geocentricity too. That's right. That's true. You wouldn't be ashamed of the doctrines of the Bible. Worried about what somebody else thinks. By the way, this also, and I'm going to have to hurry. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts, but not now. I'm just going to leave this with you. This universal invisible false doctrine of a church, it leaves you without the proper avenue to practice your spiritual gifts in. Because in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts and their exercise in what? In the body. It's not all over. No, it's in the local New Testament church. Edifying your brother, lifting him up in their most holy faith, helping them. Whatever peace you are, a part of that. The Lord's churches do need those gifts. It's true his churches will go on fine without you, and he'll use others to provide for it, but it is unprofitable for you. You are striving unlawfully and to no avail outside of his church. Your brethren are to be helped by your gifts. You say, well, I can do that online. Not the same power. Not the same. Nope, it's not the same. Some of the most powerful online ministries today are out of local New Testament churches. Their reach is far greater than some of the other ones, and the reason why is because that's God's plan.
Work on
Right. Well, it's easy to be out of the internet land. You don't have to go help. You don't help somebody go move. You don't help somebody go do something. You don't help your brethren out. You're not ever doing any of that, because why? You're out there by yourself doing nothing. That's the way it goes. That's why God moves people here into other churches, like Brother Sam Morris's church and Sam Adams and other pastors out there. Why? Because they're local New Testament churches, and God blesses his church. And by the way, those two men teach the same thing that I'm teaching tonight. Amen. So if you're near there, if you're near Florida, and you're near Brother Sam Morris's church there in Tennessee, go see him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. They're good men. They love the Lord. They love the Lord's church. They want to help people start churches too. That's their heart, to help people start churches as well. They have the Lord's heart for that. Amen. And then, you know, I could go on and on about the gifts, but not. We'll cover the gifts. When we cover the church, we'll cover the gifts sometime. Lastly, the Antichrist will use a universal body to control the world. He's going to use it. The Antichrist is going to use this universal, mystical, invisible. How about the mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of all harlots? That's going to, just like Nimrod tried to build and tried to destroy. What are they trying to do? And God destroyed it. What are they trying to do? They're preparing for the Antichrist. They're preparing. They're missing the pieces, right, to Nimrod, and they're missing the pieces. They're trying to put the pieces back together, right? They're trying to put everything back together again. Rome, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother. They want to put it all back together again, right? And they believe they're the universal invisible church there. They believe they have the control over all the churches, right? Then you have the Protestant version of the universal visible church, where they think the same thing. And then that's how Baptists got perverted with it. Anyway, there are other things, other quotes that could be said here. I got to get out of here, though. We got to get out of here. But these are the dangers, though. Listen to this one quote from an occultist here that will make you think about this universal invisible church doctrine, this mystical doctrine. There is no disassociation between the one universal church, the sacred inner lodge of all true Masons, and the innermost circles of the esoteric societies. That was Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy. Bailey is saying here that once you get into the inner invisible part of Freemasonry, there is no distinction possible between the heart of Masonry and the true universal church, which we know to be the church of the Antichrist and of the similar innermost circles of the other secret societies throughout the world. Yay. There's another quote here, but we don't have time to read it. So anyway, I gotta stop right now, but I think that gives you enough of the dangers of this teaching of the mystical, universal, invisible church, right? I hope you understand the dangers of it. I hope it makes sense to you. I hope it does. And then I'm going to prove on Sunday that where the origin of that came from, the origin of that universal, invisible church doctrine, where it came from, okay? And I'll probably get into what is the local New Testament church, you know, and the origin of the local New Testament church. One of those two, we'll figure that out as we go. But praise the Lord for that, and thank God for his church. Amen? You ought to thank God for his church. It's what Jesus bought and paid for. He died for and paid for with his own blood. Amen? Thank God for that. Father, Lord, we thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Lord, I pray they'd sink into hearts. I pray people would understand them. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified by all that was said, and that it would help others to see the dangers of this universal invisible church heresy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.